Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The promise. Before Christianity was called Christianity, it was called the promise. The promise of eternal life. It wasn't until the end of the second century that we started to be called Christian. I mean, those Christians, those kind of things, but the religion was called the promise. I like that. It's sort of a good name for a religion, isn't it? You know, but with anything, there's positives and negatives. There's goods and bads. Just as long as there's somebody trying to build something up, there's somebody on the other side trying to tear it down. I mean, heck, just look what's going on in our world today for this example of our lives. I love that first part of the epistle when he talks about, for I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is revealed to us. Folks, what's going on today is not new in history. In fact, this is probably closer to what life was on a normal basis. We were real lucky in this country for years. Well, I think this look at the good and bad is what the parable of the weeds is teaching us today. Well, last week we had the parable of the sower, you know, where his seeds fall and whether they will take root and bear fruit, you know, in good ground, bad ground, later, that kind of thing. Well, today we're going to look at the seeds that have taken root and are bearing fruit. You know, during those 2 weeks of the 4th of July, I preached on the Christian roots, Christian Judeo roots of our country, okay? Because it's there. We are founded on that. Well, folks, isn't that still our country today, is those Christian and Judeo roots? But boy, you'd sure have to look to find it, wouldn't you? Which is sad. For example, when we look at Black Lives Matter and the tearing down of the Christopher Columbus's statue, not only that, but the president, Teddy Roosevelt, talk about blowing up Mount Rushmore and blowing up Stone Mountain. And finally, tearing down the statue of an African-American Confederate soldier. You know, come on, folks. Let's relax here a little bit. Let's have some peace, understanding, patience. And I ask myself, where did our country go? That's not the country I knew. Many of us grew up in the 40s, 50s, 60s. And the things that pulled our country together, World War II, Korean War. I mean, let's face it, when I was a kid, everybody was a vet of World War II. You know, but in the late 60s, things changed. We had Vietnam. Folks, we almost came to a civil war. When I was teaching at Western New Mexico University, I taught a class called History of Rock and Roll, which was fun. In fact, we had 55 seats in the band room. The first time I taught it, I had 74 in the class, and there weren't any other seats. So I thought, oh great, we're going to have a 60s happening. And so I had kids sitting on the floor, laying on the floor. And I thought, well, when you're talking about the history of rock and roll, it's pretty appropriate. But I always had two or three Vietnam-era vets sitting there. And I would talk about what happened during the Vietnam War. We almost came to a civil war at that point. And all the kids said no, and all the vets are sitting here going like this. Okay. So in our culture in the 60s, there was enough unrest that made people think about that. I think that same type of thing is happening today. Although I hope we're not, but I think we're closer to it today. You know, but it's because we had two opposing ideologies. That of the foundation of the United States, that Judeo-Christian stuff. And that of the hatred and unrest of the people opposing the war. Now, I hate to say this, but both sides have something right. And you got to remember, one of the, I think, the beauties of this country is we have the ultra-right, the ultra-left, and we're going to try and come up with a decision in the middle that all of us can live with. I mean, that's good. That's what it should be. But you remember Eisenhower in his farewell to his office warned us of the military-industrial complex that was starting to get rich selling munitions not only to the United States, but to the enemies of the United States, and selling it to both sides. And to me, that's scary, but it happens. All right, so what did we see in this? Well, the people were trying to combat what they saw, the evil of communism. And you remember the domino effect? We were afraid of South Vietnam fell, the communists, that Laos and Thailand and all those countries over there would become communists. Well, then we have on the other side people rejecting a war that we weren't allowed to win. Remember, the Korean War was not a war. It was a police action. We never declared war. But yet somebody who's been dead out in the rice paddies still smells just as bad as somebody who's been dead during a war. Okay? And in Vietnam, we lost over 50,000 soldiers. If you've ever gone over to the copy of the wall over in Punta Gorda, which is the memorial wall of all the people who died during the Vietnam War, it's really daunting, isn't it? Well, I think that what we see here is a perfect application of the parable that Jesus taught. One of the things that blows my mind is that the Bible is just as relevant today as it was when it was written. And the wisdom that was in it is the wisdom of today. Well, the fruit of the people doing what they believed in to protect our lives, to better our lives, is under attack. But I'm not talking about protest. Protest is something that is protected in this country. Teddy Roosevelt, when he was before he became governor in New York, was the head of the, I can't remember what it was called, but the chief of police, but it was the person in government was in charge of the police. And there was a protest that came to protest something. Him, he got out, talked with him. Afterwards, he got cheered. Okay, protesters cheered Teddy Roosevelt, the person they came to berate. Now, to me, that seems like a pretty decent protest where you can talk things out. But then I look at the violent protest of the day. You know, we hear about, well, George Floyd got killed by a policeman. What about the 7 policemen in Atlanta that got killed during the riots? We don't hear about that. You know, and I think it's sad. But when we have the fruits, the weeds in that parable, I think it's still going on today. It's what we're seeing today. Well, when we follow God's will, are we acting as Christians? Yeah, I believe we are. And when we attempt to do what is correct in God's eyes, we are looking forward to spending eternity with our Lord and Savior in heaven, the promise, right? Luther, I thought this was really good, talks about our duties to God and our duties to our country. What happened when the duty to the country is in opposition to your duty to God? There's a good question, isn't it? But he said that if we are in direct opposition to the will of God, then we shouldn't do it. Of course, I don't know, the brig might look awfully good after that. But folks, the things we're dealing with today are not new. They've been a part of history all the way through. But I think whenever we work for God, there is an opposing force that's trying to undermine the good that's being done by God's people. Even Jesus talks about the devil. But yet, haven't you heard people say, oh, the devil isn't real. Hell isn't real. We're all going to heaven. Oh, yeah. What about Charles Manson? You see, there's evil. But yet, if Charles Manson on his deathbed recanted and said, Jesus, forgive me, you know what? He'd be forgiven. So I wonder who we're all going to see in heaven. That would be interesting. That's right. I got to thinking as I was writing this, you know, I come from a science background. Newton's third law of motion. For every force, every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Okay, third law of motion. For everything that's good, there's something bad. For every push on this side, there's a push on that side. Well, then how do you win? The idea is not to win, but it's to thrive and do. One of the things that this one doesn't go into as much as the King James Version did is that the talents, the weeds, are the same plant as the wheat. So as they're coming up, you can't tell the difference. That's why this one is so bad. So until the wheat is ripe and it changes color, that's when you know what is good and what is bad. So you can't go in there and pull the weeds because you're probably pulling the wheat. Having grown up in foreign country, you know, it's one of the things. And so you've just got to wait. You got to wait until the time is ripe. Well, great. So what is the time that is right? That's when we live our faith out that door. You know, and it doesn't have to be a confrontation. Remember the song, "And I'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love"? It's our love of our fellow man. Those with halitosis, those that don't have any teeth. You know what I'm getting at? Okay. The people who haven't had a shower. Jesus Loves Your Ministries on Sundays does showers for the homeless. They trim up toenails that have gone. They give haircuts. They wash their clothes. Isn't that being what Jesus wants us to do? I think that's what Jesus is trying to teach us today, that for every good that comes from him, there's just as much evil that comes from the devil. And are we going to fall prey to the evil and say, well, there's nothing I can do, it's just going to win? No. Remember Luther at the Diet of Worms? Here I stand. I can do no other. I stand for what I believe in. And I think that message of standing up for what you believe is just as good today as it was 2,000 years ago when this parable was written. Folks, we actually live in an evil and sinful world. But it doesn't mean we have to buy in to a sinful and broken world. We make our stand and say, I stand for what is good. I stand for Jesus. I stand for my fellow man. I even stand for the person who disagrees. They have the right to disagree. I don't stand for the person who's trying to kill somebody or destroy. I feel sorry for them, and I'll forgive them if they ask for forgiveness. You know, so we look at this evil that's coming up. We look at how the devil's in our lives. And he's building a wall trying to stop the good. But you know, when we live our lives in Jesus, especially to those we encounter. I helped a lady put her groceries in her car yesterday when I was at Winn-Dixie. Did I have to? No. Did she appreciate it? Yes. It was a young mom and the kid was in the cart and fussing and so on. I said, can I help you? And she said, that would be great. I said, well, you hold on to the baby. And so I did that. You know, so was I living my belief in Jesus? Sure I was. It doesn't have to be something huge. You know, talk to the people lying around you when you're standing at the store. Of course, now with 6 feet, it's a lot, not easy. But whenever we do that, we're taking that wall and we're chipping at it, one chip at a time. And there are how many million Christians in this country? If we all started chipping at that wall, how long would it take to knock it down? I don't think a long time. When we all live our beliefs, we're making a difference in the world. And especially in his service, when we get to the point we can reap that good fruit, that grain that is ripe, that grain that has roots. And then we can collect the bad and just get rid of it. Again, the timeliness of the Bible in today's world. Folks, every time I sit down with Scripture, you and I talked about that a couple of weeks ago, I learned something new. And I've told you about that prof, the Scare the Elder, who right now is almost 90 years old. The Holy Spirit has spoken to me today. He learned something new in the Bible. But isn't it wonderful that we have a book that when we read it and read it and read it, we still learn from it? I hope you experience that too. May this parable of the talents, the weeds, help keep your hearts and minds on the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his promise of everlasting life. Amen.